welcome to the Sprockets Podcast, where we are simplifying the good life. My name is Brock Dittus.
And I'm Brandon Rhodes, and we are broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally with a global perspective and enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way.
We're covering day-to-day life, food, alcohol, bicycles, and alternative transportation, arts and culture, communications, and the internet, and reflective descriptivists, all kinds of good things here.
That's right. We actually have a reflective descriptivist here in our makeshift studio with us tonight. It really is just our basement. It's a finished basement, but a basement it remains.
It's a nice basement.
Thank you, sir. Sitting over here on my right on microphone three is our good friend Michael Anderson, looking dapper and composed as he sits in his chair.
I'm in radio clothing tonight.
I was trying my hand at the descriptivist thing. What can you do? Anyways, thank you, sir, for joining us tonight.
So. Of course. Thank you for the invitation.
Yeah. It's good to be here again. Good to be in the presence of all of you, our dear and loyal listeners. Want to let you know, of course, if you do want to send us an email, our email address is thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com. Our phone number, if you want to give us some stories, you want to tell us what's up in your life, it's 503-847-9774. So, yeah. Brandon, how was your week and weekend?
It was pretty chill. Got to go up to Tacoma on Thursday and hang out with a Catholic worker community up there. They had like tons of gardens and murals and stuff. So it was a really chill time up there.
Nice.
Yeah.
And you went by train once again?
I did go by train once again.
Yeah. And Michael and I were actually just talking about the Cascades line and how it is superlative. It is far above and beyond every other Amtrak line in the country. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's a good thing. So good trip. You made it back in one piece, obviously.
Indeed.
At least as far as I can tell.
Yeah.
Well. No. Brandon just held up four fingers as if to imply that he had lost his thumb on the trip. But
ha 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 ha. Brandon made funny.
LOLs. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, we got a couple of things that we wanted. Oh, you know what? I went to Wonder Northwest.
Oh, yeah. Hey, hang on. Brock, how was your week and weekend?
My week and weekend were awesome. Wonder Northwest. Michael, have you heard about this?
I haven't.
Wonder Northwest is kind of a catch-all convention for anyone who likes comic books and anything that has to do with pop culture. So today it was a forum on podcasting. That's a little inside baseball, which no one listening to this, I'm sure, is interested in. So I'll skip over that. But after that, we went to another panel where a guy presented the Everything You Never Wanted to Know About the Star Wars Christmas Special, which was awesome. So we got to see like all of the basically everything that kind of made it unique and quite the endeavor by CBS. And also all of the things that really kind of tarnished the Star Wars franchise and, you know, all the reasons that Lucas will never admit.
Yeah, that could be a weekend.
That there was a holiday special. So anyways, that was really exciting. But it's too late for me to talk about it this year, I guess. But next year, keep your eyes on wondernorthwest.com. That's where you'll find out about the Wonder Northwest Festival, our convention. So anyways, that was a lot of fun.
I've only seen the Muppet Star Wars appearance. Did you guys see that?
I've seen that before. Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
Actual Muppets?
On the Muppet Show.
Jim Henson? Okay.
Like Mark Hamill was on the Muppet Show doing his Mark Hamill.
Okay. I remember seeing Mark Hamill on Space Ghost, Coast to Coast.
Oh, yeah.
Playing is that his... Yeah. stay at Brock.
That's right. Okay. I just got tickled. That's awesome. If you enjoy the Sprocket Podcast, you're interested in supporting what we do, if you're interested in possibly helping us underwrite some of the beer costs for our wonderful guests, we got a donation button on our website. So if you'd like to hear that, what am I saying?
Yeah, if you want to do that, hit the button.
Will it make the inception
I'm not
sound?
Together.
You guys need to do that.
It might.
Oh, I could totally code that.
All right, Brandon, you go and code that.
I will.
Yeah.
I'd code that.
Maybe this is a good time to mention that Brandon
actually...
We haven't
even started drinking yet.
We have not. Brandon actually runs a thing called Code for Good, which is a little independent website company. And if you're interested in having him build you a website...
It's codeforgood.net.
Codeforgood.net.
Yeah.
The great thing about the Code for Good business cards is that they are, I believe the visual is mm-hmm. that of Braille, right?
Yeah, but, it's Braille for good, G-O-O-D.
Right, in right, which is awesome, but you can't feel it.
No,
like,
you
it's
can't.
Not actually, it's not Braille for its intended purpose, but it does look nice on
indeed.
The card.
Indeed, so. Yeah, well, blind people don't need websites.
I beg to differ.
yeah, exactly.
Moving right along. We've got some the sprocketpodcast.com. That's the most important thing to tell you guys all. We're still using Podbean for our hosting and everything, but if you want to follow us both now and in the future, when if we ever design our own proprietary thing and we have our own web servers that run on solar power and they're powered by the weeds that we cut from our lawn.
I just want to see what that button did, sorry.
That's okay. That's the explosion noise. It's awesome. Anyways, thesprocketpodcast.com is our own web address, and you can follow us there from now until eternity, or at least until the internet implodes.
There you go.
So, yeah, we got some mail. And actually, do you have the...
Do I ever?
Yeah. You've got mail.
That's right. I forgot to mention some of these last week, so some of this is a little bit old, but Amos in PDX, he said we should talk to people from Portland Cascadia Pedicabs.
Awesome idea.
Yeah, so Portland Cascadia Pedicabs, if you happen to be listening, please call us. Don't wait for us to call you. But I'll be looking for their contact info, and we'll be in touch, and maybe we can have somebody come in and tell us about that later on.
Good idea, Amos.
Blaine on Vancouver Island, he's the one who has been in contact. He suggested a couple of our musical choices. He's thinking about getting a tandem for he and his daughter, so that's pretty awesome. My friend Jeff, he and I and two other friends from college are planning a brewery tour coming up in about a month or so. We're going to take off from Bellingham, Washington, down to Portland, Oregon, and we're going to visit breweries along the way and all that. So it'll take about a week to get down, but I told him that... In good conscience, I'm not sure if I could try and finagle him a discount for his rail fare. I'm a part of the National Association of Rail Passengers, and I thought about trying to get him a cheaper fare because, me and my wife are both a part of that fine organization, and she wasn't going to go. But figured just to be on the up and up, I wouldn't do that. And I said, I hope that doesn't shoot any holes in your optimism. And this quote was awesome. It says, "You couldn't shoot holes in my optimism with a chain gun." He's really excited about the tour. So I'm excited about it too. And Jeff, if you happen to be listening, I'll talk to you soon. Steve in Glasgow. He is a guy that is it Glasgow? Is that how you say it?
Glasgow.
Glasgow.
I'm just going to say in a accent and hope it works.
Okay, here we go. Steve, I noticed he was one of our new friends on Facebook, and he said, just had a wee nocturnal cycle. And I said, oh, hey, that's great, because I'm all about the nocturnal cycle. So... I enjoy kind of corresponding with our listeners. It's fun.
It's the most giggly opening. We haven't even gotten to...
We really haven't. Well, with that, it would be a good idea to introduce what we're drinking.
That's right.
All right.
Yeah.
We have this little pad that your lady friend just passed off to us, right?
Yeah, my lady friend. That's
she actually, your
Candace,
fiance, the yes. one you're getting married
that's
to this
it.
Summer.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, she found this at one of those, novelty gift stores, and thought it would be good for the show, and I roundly agree. It says, rate that beer, and so it's got a list of the tasting date, beer name, beer style, brewer, region, alcohol content, the label, different things we can circle, including, so grading the label, options are don't drink and design, fun to peel off, quality printing, goes with my sofa, or better than beer. So, there's on the mild levels of wit, you remember it was in a novelty store.
Nice.
It goes, including notes and overall impression, and it has a built-in coaster. So we can all...
Built-in coaster.
Be rating our beers throughout.
All right. So each of us gets one of these little sheets, and we're gonna give a write-up. And I would imagine perhaps after the break, we might detail what we're doing.
Yeah,
we
might post these on the website. I don't know.
Yeah, it's true.
So, I'm drinking a, I figure... if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Do not fix the champagne of beers, sir.
That's right. So I have a Miller High Life, and there is no more skanky lady on it. So
I noticed. I looked for that when you brought it downstairs. I thought, does it have the faux 50s pinup?
It does.
And she really wasn't. Is she just smaller?
No,
this time?
She's well clad at least.
Oh, she's wearing clothes this time.
Yeah, they have. Okay. Yeah, it's not objectifying women's bodies. So that's nice.
Hurrah for that. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So you got the Miller High Life. And Michael, which you chose the Fearless.
Yeah, I've got the Fearless Scottish Ale from the magical waters of the Clackamas River is what
that's
it says here. Yeah, I mean.
That's a good thing.
I can't think of a better endorsement.
Yeah, right here in Estacada, Estacada, Oregon.
Magic in every can.
Yeah.
Just down south.
No, let me read some of this copy.
Oh,
Brewed Just For You by Ken Johnson.
Copy. You can tell he works in media
Period.
And journalism.
Yeah. Grand, high exalted mystical brewer and owner of Fearless Brewing Company. And then there's his address.
That's pretty great.
Yeah.
That's it makes him sound good.
Yeah.
Makes him sound important and well respected, loved by all his constituents.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then I ended up picking up. Oh, yeah, thank you. My headphone cable's not long enough. There we go. Oh, and it's getting stuck on stuff. I picked up the Southern Oregon Brewing Woodshed Red, which is red ale, and it's 22 ounces of this. And actually, truth be told, Michael, I actually bought this Woodshed Red thinking that you would want the bigger beer. So if at any point you would like some more, I would be happy to pour some of this out into another.
It is a prodigious cask of alcohol.
It's formidable. And I mean, one of the things you might notice when you're talking to us tonight is that it's really hard to drink and talk at the same time unless you're really like dedicated to the task. So I make sure I get all my alcohol down before we finish each show. I don't really, actually. A lot of times I have beer left over, but anyways, so that's what we're doing. All of you guys look like you're taking the SATs. All leaning over.
Wait,
your
this paper. Is the first section of the right. This is the first section of the SAT where everybody's sort of like loose, and you're like, "Oh, I'm filling out my name."
That's right. Right. Yeah. Okay. So anyhow, we're going to be drinking our beers and all that. Let me tell you about some upcoming shows that we've got. I have next week's guest, our friend Meredith Stewart, is going to talk about some transit travel. She had an interesting story about taking the bus somewhere. And then next, the week after that, I believe it's Memorial Day itself, Ryan J. Lane, photographer and musical artist and our theme music's writer and producer and recorder. And he's just an amazing guy. So he's going to come in and tell us about how amazing he is. And I say that with very little snark, only because it sounds funny. He really is an amazing guy. June 5th, Jason Morgan and Adrian Haley of Arbitus Builders. They're some good friends of ours. And also, I think they're moving a lot of their stuff around with a cargo bike, which is pretty cool. So, and then I am pleased to announce that John Boblett of Portland Pedal Lounge, it's a bar on a bike. He's coming in on June 13th.
That's awesome.
So those are our upcoming shows. Should we talk about the headlines, Brandon?
Yeah, let's
do it. All right. This is, of course, local artist Hurt Bird with their fantastic composition, I Like My Bike.
What can compare with the thrill of a brand new bike?
I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. It circles around the city lights.
Right, so the first headline from the San Francisco Gate by way of Bike Portland. More and more people are wearing their office clothes on the bike commute. That's awesome.
It was a cool article. They were just talking about how a lot of people are kind of flying in the face of the idea that you have to have special clothing or you know, expensive clothing to ride a bicycle. And that, in fact, you can actually you can do it like they do in the Dutch country or in Copenhagen, which is not actually in the Dutch country, as I just probably embarrassingly
confusing.
Recently learned. But yeah, it's really cool. They were talking about how there's a lot of people that are saying, hey, I ride in my slacks and my tie and it works just fine for me. So yeah, that was interesting stuff.
Good on them. Next up, Path Less Pedaled has a story about five ways to be a bicycle friendly business.
Yeah, they had a bunch of stuff. And actually, Russ and Laura from PathlessPedal.com, you know, they're taking off, I believe, this next Sunday on their...
I think they just left.
Did they? Oh, perhaps they've already taken off. But yeah, they've been, of course, writing some great articles about all kinds of things as they go out and bicycle around this big country of ours. The one I liked best was the idea that if you're a hotel, you totally need to let your customers bring their bikes into the room.
Word.
there's nothing that says customer service less than saying, oh, hey, there's a place behind the dumpster you can lock your bike to.
Yeah.
But with their folding bikes, I imagine that'll be even less of an issue. They're going to be okay with that.
I've been able to bring my bike into a hotel room in one of the nicer hotels in downtown Portland. And I don't know why I was in a hotel in downtown Portland, but school.
Right.
But, you know, it was really astonishing. Like I rolled it into the lobby, the foyer, mm-hmm. and was carrying a bit of shame even in Portland, and was astonished that they were like, "Oh yeah, just bring it into the room." And you know, it's a nice spendy place. So yeah. Good.
That's awesome.
So I feel loved. So next up from the Oregonian, Tred's agency TriMet honors 3 generations of female bus operators for Mother's Day.
Yeah, it was pretty great. I found it almost astonishing, but it's something that I guess in this family, it runs in the family. They've all enjoyed their jobs as bus operators. And so you've got someone who's just about to retire, I think, and someone who just probably got hired in the past couple of years. And then there's the generation between those two. But they've been doing it as a family for years. So that's great.
Great. And lastly, from Copenhagenize by way of Bike Portland.
Copenhagenize.
Copenhagenize.
That's a great website name.
It really is. Where is Copenhagen?
That's not. It's not in the Dutch country, sir.
Okay, no, no, that nothing. Nothing could be cuter than little girls riding tiny cargo bikes.
And that is to tell you that's the absolute truth. That's really
honest to God.
These little girls are riding around on these bikes, and they're like really they are training themselves to one day grow up and have what Bike Snob likes to call a bake feats or something along those lines. Basically, they're getting ready to carry cargo. One of the things they like to do, apparently, I think when they're at school or preschool or wherever it is they happen to be, is they've got basically like rickshaws. And one person will sit and pedal, and the other student will sit and ride. And they ride around the schoolyard that way. So,
they're so damn cute.
Yeah, they are. So, anyways.
And
so, hurrah for
that.
Hurrah for Copenhagen.
Good on them.
Yeah, that's all of our news. So at this point, Michael, you said that you actually selected a fanfare ahead of time. You know exactly what it is that you want.
I do, yeah. This is in honor of my friend Elisa, who is has an unhealthy obsession with gongs.
Is that right?
I thought we should go with the gong.
All right. So we present to you Michael Anderson from Portland Afoot.
Nice.
And the descriptivist in me would say that you relished that moment.
I did, yes.
You enjoyed it greatly.
I gave it my best.
Well, do you want to tell us, drink your beer first, do that, because...
That was an even better moment.
That was. Nothing is more fun than beer and a gong at the same time. You could say it was a beer gong.
Wah.
Wah, wah, wah.
Wow, that's loud. Shit.
That is loud. Okay.
Massive cricket out of here.
Michael Anderson, thank you for being a good sport and coming in to talk to us. Tell us a little bit about what it is that you do here in town, because I like what it is, but I feel like you could probably describe it better.
That's really nice of you. It's a I'm a journalist. I've been a journalist for 10 years, and I am trying to find a way to report on TriMet to the extent that I think most people who sort of, you know, commute to work by TriMet care about it, which is not a lot. I really love policy reporting. And so I spent 5 years at Daily Newspapers, and basically came to the conclusion that I wouldn't be reading my stories every day and like keeping up with all the shit that was going on in town.
Yeah,
and the only people who care that much are the people who actually work in government. And so the only way to write about local policy is to give it to people in smaller chunks occasionally so that they get a good dose of it. They feel like they're not missing anything. They feel like they're part of whatever culture is built around that thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, anyway, so the product that I've got is it's called Portland Afoot. It's a 10-minute news magazine is what I call it. It's an 8.5 or it's 11x17 piece of paper.
Yeah,
and it comes out once a month, and it's got a news summary. It's got a cover story about something. This month it's about the Portland Public Schools Youth Pass, which gives free passes to 13,000 students, and it's the state's talking about taking it away. Nobody else is covering this.
Right. That's your most recent,
yeah,
most recent issue.
That, yeah. Yeah. There's a funny story from the bus every month.
Those are awesome, by the way.
Thanks
that
very much. Yeah.
The one that
it's like
I'm
the edge
to remember.
In the living section. Yeah.
I think it was
exactly
only interesting.
No, that's exactly
and
what
and not just ripped off from the internet.
I think the one that I remember liking was just last month. It was I think the story about the bus from Swan Island with the
yes, good. I'm glad you liked that one. That was my favorite. I heard very little about it, but
yeah, that was a really good. Is it okay if we summarize it now?
Please.
I was going to say we should read it, but I'm not sure. We probably would have to contact the author and make sure it was okay to reproduce in full, but all that, you know, blah de blah. But no, the basic gist of the story, I think, was that there was a fellow who was the bus driver for, and the driver was riding it, wasn't he?
The driver, well, yeah, he was, this was, he's a driver people might know. His name is Dan Christensen.
Oh, he's the blogger, isn't he?
Yeah, he's got a blog. Yeah. He got into some trouble talking about the bicyclist that we should kill.
Right.
Anyway.
Was just a joke, people. Lighten up.
Yeah. Anyway, but he had this great story about driving. He likes to switch routes. So he's driving, unlike most drivers, he's on sort of backup service. So he's often moving to different.
Yeah. They call that the extras board, I
yeah.
believe.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
I happen to be ATU union myself, so.
You're kidding.
No, so I'm a school bus driver.
Oh, yeah. Sweet. All right.
Cheers.
First student.
District, actually.
All right. Great.
I mean, they're very similar in most respects.
Okay,
so, yeah.
Got it. Thank you.
They both drive kids around in big yellow vehicles.
So, you want to go through Dan's?
Yeah, basically, what I remember was he was driving the route that comes off of Swan Island, which, if you don't live in Portland, is it's basically an industrial sort of shipyard area. There's a lot of folks that just work blue collar jobs down there on the island, and this guy drives the bus for them every day. And there was something that was different, right? Like it was a hot summer day, and his bus had problems or something like that.
Yeah, his it was the Max had problems.
Oh,
and
that
so
was it. And he was providing shuttle service with his bus.
They let all these folks in suits off at Overlook Park or something and got on his bus.
Uh-huh.
And so they were people who were not accustomed to being on the 85. And the 85 is this, you know, it's people who are all working these very rigid shifts. They all know each other.
Yeah.
They're used to sitting next to each other in the right seat.
And possibly the suits weren't used to being on a bus.
No, they were Max people.
Yeah. Yeah. There is a difference.
Yeah.
There is.
So, yeah. So anyways, he's providing the service, and as I remember, the suits are saying, well, this is lame, you know, and what is it? There was no air conditioning on the bus, and so it was kind of hot and sticky, summer day sort of thing, and the suits are like, man, this is the worst thing that's ever happened. I can't believe grumble, you know, and all of a sudden, one of the workers from Swan Island, who just has, you know, like an ordinary job, he stands up, and he's like, you know, all you sons of bitches, listen up. This guy is a good bus driver, you know, and he's doing the best he can, and you just better sit down and shut up and like it. And
love it.
And then all the suits are like, oh.
They got, as the kids say, told.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So anyways, that's one of my favorite pieces of Portland Afoot, but I think we're somewhere in the middle of describing the publication. Was there anything that you didn't cover yet?
The other thing I wanted to mention is that the website is kind of weird, that we try to do the print does what print does best, which is speed and access,
mm-hmm.
and the web does what web does best, which is on-demand information.
Ah.
And so the website is a wiki about public transportation in Portland. So we've got a page on the best places to live without a car. We've got one on the businesses, a list of all the businesses that subsidize transit passes, things like that.
Yeah. And I think one of the things I noticed just recently was that it was a wiki. And so anybody can submit information to this
That's
at
right.
any point if they want to.
Yeah. If you've got a problem with portlandafoot.org, you can make it better.
There we go. Yeah. So really that's taking all the blame and shifting it directly to the consumer.
That is my goal in life.
Well, that's not a bad way to roll.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. So how long has Portland Afoot been together? How long have you been putting this out?
We're coming up on our first birthday in 2 weeks.
Okay, right. That's it's even newer than I thought it was, actually.
Yeah.
But yeah. And Brandon, you were the one actually that turned me on to Portland Afoot at first. How did you hear about it?
I believe I was at the zine shop down on like 12th.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Microcosm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
And wait, they have a physical location again.
Yes.
Because they left town for Microcosm Publishing, folks out there in the internet and not in Portland, is not in Indiana.
Perhaps in Glasgow.
Perhaps in Glasgow. But they are basically an independent publishing house, and they do a lot of zines and other things, stickers, that sort of stuff. Patches, yeah.
They're a big deal.
They are, yeah. And anyways, they have the
best logo I've ever seen in my life.
They do.
Yeah. We actually have it on the computer right there.
There it is. It's a heart in the middle of a sprocket.
Several sprockets, I think. Mm. A full set of chain rings.
Poly sprocket.
Yes. So anyways, they've been gone for a long time. But yeah. So anyways, really excited about that. Good stuff. And Portland Afoot. It's an excellent publication. I've been a subscriber, I think, for 3 or 4 months. I believe I subscribed in February.
Yeah, it was about
maybe I subscribed in January, but I didn't make the mailing date for January's episode issue. So anyways, made it in. Enjoying the publication very much and all that. So
thanks.
Yeah. Well, let's take a break here real quick. We've got something that I think it was listener Carl down in Anaheim, California, if I'm not mistaken. If I got your name wrong, I'm sorry, Carl, but that's what I'm going to call you. Anyways, he said, check out this band called We Are Augustines. And We Are Augustines is actually a band that I knew as Augustines from KEXP. It's a radio station up in Seattle.
You just had to clarify it.
Well, I wanted to make sure, and I was in correspondence with one of the guys from We Are Augustines. But I said, you know, what is your name, really? And he said it was We Are Augustines. So... All right. So I just want to make sure we credit them correctly. But they have an awesome song called Book of James. It's from the upcoming project they have coming called Rise Ye Sunken Ships. And if I'm not mistaken, I don't think the album is released yet, but it's going to be coming soon. I like this song because it sounds pretty much like Bruce Springsteen's Born in the USA, as if it was sung by the Talking Heads. So it's really awesome.
Book of James.
Yeah.
Luther hated it. So
that's right. Well, we're going to roll that song for you now.
Thank you.
are back on the Sprocket Podcast, this week with Michael Anderson of Portland Afoot, who prefers the gong as a fanfare. We're having an awesome conversation geeking out about transit things of all kinds, about interstate transit and long-distance epic transit tours, that sort of thing. What was the website again? It was Epic Transit Journeys.
Yes.
.com.
Yeah, if you Google Epic Transit, I think you will get Evan's thing.
Yeah, that's it's a fantastic website. A lot of stuff. That's also a wiki, I believe. So
yes,
yeah.
It is.
So you gotta send them the stuff if the times are wrong. But you should tell us. There's this fascinating story you had mentioned that you might want to mention on the show tonight, Michael, about your worst day on the magazine. It was
so
June 3rd.
This is the glamorous life of the magazine publisher.
Yeah.
In the modern age.
This was, if you're only about a year old, then this is right around the start
this
of
this was
the
our launch
thing, right?
Issue.
Okay. Oh, so, yeah.
It was big. So I was very stressed out about it all. I had, pulled an all-nighter to finish it in time. I had spent most of the month of May trying to line up various venues at which I could distribute our launch issue, because we were printing 1,000 of them. It was going to be free, it was a big deal for our launch. They were giving them out free to places that I thought would care about them, and so we had lined up this thing with the city has this Tinto Express program. It's like they send a staffer to lead an interesting walk around some part of Portland. So he was going up.
These.
Okay, yeah. So his name is Rick, and he's taking people up to Mount Tabor, and
it's an interesting part of town.
Yeah, and then to businesses nearby, and so I was supposed to meet them at the top of Mount Tabor. I was not. I was supposed to meet them on the street. I was supposed to meet them in the business district where they were going to go first.
Oh, okay.
And then they were going to go to Tabor and then come down. That's
where the walk was going to start.
Right, exactly. I lined this up long in advance. So, we were supposed to have gone to press before. This was the first of many events that I had lined up. I was very excited about it all.
Yeah.
And so June 3rd was actually my birthday. My 29th birthday, and
happy birthday.
Yeah. There was a series. My printer is Charles Eberhardt is Charles at Eberhardt Press, and Eberhardt Press is a great institution.
Yeah,
part of the same building as Microcosm.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, and
they're kind of a sustainable printing sort of place. Like they care about the earth and they try and do their best to steward the resources well.
Precisely.
Yeah.
So he's a great guy. It was like Alexander's terrible, horrible day.
No good,
for
very
him.
Bad day.
Yes. There was a truck that had gone off the highway that was carrying the paper that this was supposed to be printed on. And there was another delay at the place that he goes to get the metal plates. And so anyway, there were three. And then he printed them. The graphics didn't upload properly. So there was an X in the place of one of my photos. I don't understand how the hell that works anyway.
It's like when you're on Facebook, but you don't have a photo yet.
Yeah. It was like that, except on paper. So
right.
It looked kind of weird. And none of it his fault, but the effect was that the issue was delayed by a week. And so I was supposed to be at this thing at 6 o'clock, and he was finishing up the issues, and then it fell through. So then I couldn't do that. So then I had went to a paper place, and I had gone. And then I went to Office Max to get them printed just on their copy machine, because I was like, I got it. I can't let the city guy down, because he's very important to my future. His opinions about me and all that. And then I don't own a car, so I'm doing this with my frame backpack.
Oh wow!
Full of 1,000 Portland Effoot.
Wow.
And
nice pluralization.
Thanks.
There.
Yeah. On my bike, and so I can't see behind. I can't turn really. Anyway, so I'm biking around. I've got these printed at Office Max for way more money than they would have cost otherwise, and on the offset. And I'm sprinting up Burnside to trying to get to Mount Tabor.
Still because that's
I've missed where they're departing, so I'm like, I've got to catch them on top of Mount Tabor. And so I'm
and it's right, then things in your back.
Yeah, and if you remember, like last May and June in Portland were terrible, and like we thought the spring was never going to come, and like it was
getting that feeling again. By the way,
yeah, no, actually, I think this spring has been better by comparison, but it was terrible last year. And the rain was driving down as I was biking in my backpack, and I was like trying to, and then biking up Mount Tabor with a frame backpack full of paper is not a pleasant experience.
Seriously. Paper's heavy.
Yes. Yes.
It's a volcano, it's for those who don't know, in the middle of our fair city.
Yeah. Right. It's a nice place, but, it's not something I would want to bike up for fun. and anyway, so I finally got to the top, like, nobody there. And so I just sort of relaxed and thought, you know, I quit my job to do this thing. And, I just like biked up a mountain in the rain with a back frame backpack full of paper on my back on my 29th birthday.
Wow.
And I'm going to remember this for the rest of my life.
Seriously.
And so I called my best friend. And we had a great conversation, and yeah, so I tried to savor that moment too.
Yeah, so it's only gone uphill from there, I would assume.
Yes, yeah, so to speak.
Yeah, I see what you did there, sir. Yeah, that's just the things that you will do for the things that you, your dreams and your hopes.
Yeah,
that I think sometimes people can surprise themselves, and it sounds as though perhaps you did that. You surprised yourself.
I couldn't
very
think
much.
Honestly. I couldn't. I couldn't do anything better. I'm going to have some friends over for this birthday, but
that's good.
Yeah, and part of the thing about about running a small enterprise is just complete lack of time to think about yourself more than several days in advance.
Right. Wow. Well, do you want to talk a little bit about bus and bike people and how they are similar, how they are different?
So I'm a bus person, and you guys talk to a lot of bike people, and I totally respect that. And I love bikes in the abstract, but in the concrete, I don't really like bikes. That's that's something I've recently come to grips with.
Right.
That I am not really a bike person. I am.
It's hard to break in, man. It's like, I mean, I was just telling my wife earlier this weekend that like, I go downtown and I still feel like I don't fit in because my bike's not cool enough and all that. And, you know, it's just, it's a culture that's easy to feel maybe some snobbery in.
That's interesting. Okay. I just don't like the physical process of it.
Uh-huh.
I'm just a lazy bastard.
Exertion to get from A to B.
Right.
I'll take more time if I don't have to fucking be sweaty by the time I get there.
Right. Seriously.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And
I can relate to that.
Yeah. And also like I
can.
I'm the sort of guy that like, goes to the grocery store and like doesn't think about the fact that like if he doesn't pick up a basket, the like the cantaloupes are not going to magically bob along behind me in the I live my life in this land of like complete ideas and abstraction, and the bus is the perfect situation is the perfect enabler of me to do that, because I can, you know, there's nothing like the freedom of stepping off of a bus and having nothing to worry about, going straight where you want to go. I don't have to lock any shit up. I don't have to pull any shit off my bike. I don't have to like find the parking, obviously, for my car. I don't have to like worry about how much anything costs. I just step off the bus and I walk.
All your zines are with you in your frame backpack.
Right, yeah. Right. Well, maybe that's true. I've got other issues to work through, but no, before this freedom is accomplished.
I'm all in. That sounds great.
Yeah. So I think there is this interesting divide that I observe among Portland Afoot readers, for one thing, some of whom are clearly bikey and some of whom are busy.
Right.
And and just in Portland in general. And I don't know. There are weird enmities in the subcultures and
right.
Can you caricaturize a bike person and then maybe caricaturize? Yeah, I know. We shouldn't use generalities. This is the 21st
century. But let's talk in some generalities.
Yeah,
here.
Right. And then a bus person.
Right.
Bussy, as you said.
Well, the bus person is a sophisticated person of the world who likes to use their time more effectively and think about the larger issues rather than the concrete, mundane procedures of pumping up a street or smelling the flowers and shit like that. I don't give a shit about that.
Right. There are no flowers.
Right.
The
I want to read my goddamn magazine or book or whatever, or listen to my podcast. And
thank you, sir.
Yes. And let somebody else do the worry about where they're going and what's going on.
The horrors of being sideswiped or doored or
right, exactly. Whereas puddled. The bicyclist is at home in the world itself, and actually, this is something that I didn't appreciate about the sort of pro bicycling culture in Portland. I thought that people would that the ideological bicyclists would be into it for environmental reasons, for safety reasons to some extent, for health reasons. I didn't appreciate the fact that a lot of ideological bikers in Portland, people who are really into it for and sort of political about it, are into it for like social reasons, that they really think that they are more connected to their neighborhoods and their neighbors and they're better people as a result because they're moving more slowly and they can see the people around them. And that was something that had not occurred to me before getting into the bike culture to the extent that I have, which is also what I love about bus culture, which I think is more intense in that, like, you're more connected to the people around you. It's
you have to listen
more
to
social.
Damn conversations.
Yeah, exactly, which is great. I mean, I don't mind that. I'm glad that it's part of my life is to have this completely random encounters with completely like, this very wide range of people and have that be just built into my daily structure, right?
Yeah. You might say that it's almost like on the bicycle, you are connected to your neighborhood and your neighbors and people that are around, but you can leave whenever that gets dull and boring. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you're taking the bus, you're kind of stuck in that bus with all of your neighbors until they choose to get off or, you know, unless they're just riding to the end just to talk to the bus driver. You know, that happens too. But
it does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't remember if I read this in your publication or if it was something else, but I remember there was a nickname for someone who sits in the front seat on the bus and talks to the driver.
The bus driver groupie seat.
Is that it?
That's what the woman called in my
there
thing.
There we go. Yeah. I thought there was something like more, even more derisive.
There should
like
be a better
the
name for it.
Squawk box or something like that. But
I got to find it. There's got to be a good name for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've always wondered just in general if drivers have nicknames for different stereotypes of passengers, you know, like the people that get on and do
straight
a stereotypical
up ask sometime.
I should. Yeah.
That's yeah.
I'm sure it depends on the driver, too. But
I'm going to steal that for a future cover story.
Please do, sir. Yeah. Please do. And I will read it and consume it awesome. And be well-fed and happy. So, yeah.
Fat and sassy.
That's right. What about the unified theory? You mentioned there's maybe you should use the phrase because I think you probably would do it better. It's
the unified field theory of TriMet?
That's right.
So this is a special case of the unified field theory of Portland.
I just realized that it was printed on this sheet and I forgot to look at it. So. But it sounds better when you say it anyways. Sounds like it was your idea.
I think that the thing that this is again getting into politics, which I'm totally into.
Hey, politics.
All right.
It's what makes the world go round.
Be warned. the reason that Portland does everything is because it's a fucking cheapskate.
That's Oregon generally.
Yeah,
actually.
No, totally.
It's totally Oregon.
Yes. Right. Yeah, and this ascends to the highest levels of government. The reason we built the MAX is because the city was too chicken to knock down people's houses to build highways. And, you know, people would come and complain, and Oregonians don't like to be complained to.
Interesting.
And the reason that we have an excellent bike infrastructure here is because it's fucking cheap. And you can spend a tiny, tiny, tiny fraction of money, and people who love their cars will be inconvenienced, and we don't care. Because they're not going to be inconvenienced in a way that they will come pouring into the city council meetings to complain. And
sure. Like they can deal with it on their own.
Right, exactly.
It won't become such a big deal that government shuts down.
Right, yeah. Right, exactly. And meanwhile, we don't have to raise our taxes, which is when they do come in pouring. So
that's what the newest election is all about, actually, right? With the school district, I think.
Right, right, yeah, right.
That's a good case in point.
Right, exactly. The MAX is itself an exercise in cost saving, in that you can move people more quickly on a larger vehicle than a smaller vehicle. That's why they wanted to go with rails instead of buses.
Sure.
And
even those flexi buses.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they rejected the flexi buses. There's a story about that too.
Is there? I mean, they've never had them, have they?
They have.
No,
they've
tried the thing that Eugene has.
Not Seattle has the flexi.
Yeah. They call those.
Okay.
Articulated buses.
Articulated, yes.
You fucking groupie. Right.
Yeah. I'm all smiling, self satisfied over here. But yes.
Yes.
I like buses.
The Portland. The other thing that TriMet is great at is the open data policy. You guys familiar with this? It's what gives us these fantastic like mobile applications and on that. TriMet is the only agency in the country that has a unique identifier for every. It's the only large agency in the country that has a unique identifier for every bus stop,
every stop,
every
period.
Stop in the system.
Not
has a four digit
points,
code or
but...
what, or five digit code, something to identify it, and you can enter that code on your phone, you know, text it to whatever. You don't have to have a fancy phone.
I was so glad when they came out with the texting. I mean, by the time they came up with that, I had stopped carrying a cell phone. So, I mean, it did me less good. But I'm glad that they did it.
It kicks ass.
It's a great idea.
Yeah, you text where you're at, for those who don't know, to this number, and it'll tell you how many minutes until the next bus arrives.
Is it 258 ride is the number?
Yeah, or 27299 or something like that?
Yeah, it's a five digit, it's a short code.
Oh,
27299.
Right.
Yes!
Nice.
All right.
Respect.
Indeed.
I get the gong.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, TriMet does this thing and opens it up to the internet, which is weird that like they put all this information, their arrival information and where the buses actually are, not where they're scheduled to be, but where they are. They keep track of all that shit. Right. They put it on the internet.
GPS.
They
open APIs and what have you.
Yeah, exactly. And so programmers can come in and build things that can do shit with them. And as a result, we've got this wealth of stuff that the government could never have developed on its own. And the reason they did this was because they thought they could save money on not buying those television screens to put on the bus stops, because they were like, those things cost like $6,000 or something.
Right.
And if we let the people buy those screens instead for themselves, then
which
we don't
gonna
have
do
to
anyway.
Do
anyway. Yeah,
right. Exactly. Which is a great idea. But ultimately, it stems from the fact that TriMet is cheapskate.
Right.
Well, but no, this is spreading to other places like D.C., realized a similar thing. How can we create a web presence that accelerates how people use our cool shit?
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, we'll just be fucking cheap about it.
Mm-hmm.
A $25,000 prize for the person who comes up with the coolest Android or iPhone app.
Mm-hmm.
And they had several dozen applications that were, you know, admitted to those respective app stores. And they did that all for $25,000 plus a little bit more just to market the shit.
Right.
Instead of, they estimated it would have cost about about $1 million, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
To have one.
Well, no, just to make even like half of those or whatever. Like,
right. Okay.
So they managed to do it for, you know, the better part of one person's salary.
Right. Yeah, that's awesome.
So cheapskateness can be good.
Right, no, exactly. Right, I as a cheapskate,
yeah,
I personally endorse it. But
a self-professed cheapskate, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
That's good. It's interesting, I think, just that if you are a cheapskate, you end up coming up with things that are kind of simpler options and things that tend to work better with, I suppose, caring for the earth and the globe and everything. I mean, it seems
like... Yeah, that reminds me of the Rowdy Kittens line, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which line were you thinking of?
Oh, not a specific line, but just their whole train of thought of like, you know, simplicity is good in itself, and
that's right.
Cheapness is an indicator of simplicity, so we should, you know, look for things that are cheap because it's probably a good idea.
Yeah, totally.
So I want to hear just the stereotype that the line that people throw against public transportation is, oh, big government, they're just throwing money into the shitter. Ah, fucking. And what you're saying is actually it was founded on cheapskateness. How do you respond to people who just decry, you know, like spending tens of millions of dollars on a new light rail to Milwaukee or whatever?
Right. Well, that they've got something to say.
Milwaukee, Oregon, by the way.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That would be an awesome light rail line, but it would take a long time. I'm not saying that it's not a good idea to. You should certainly. If there's some projects are very expensive, we should be considering whether they're worth it. But in
the
general,
Columbia River Crossing, for example.
For example, yeah. For example, I think that people who are looking at that are just people are. It's very hard for people who have lived their life in cars to escape this assumption that you know, I've got a car and this is what I use to get around in every situation. And they're just these colossal sunk costs that they all have that they're not thinking about, that have been as a result of our attitude towards cars built into all the government systems and so on. That
right.
We have we've got, you know, this assumption that parking should be free and it costs a ton of money to take all this land and devote it to the maintenance and storage of these private vehicles and so on. And, you know, to build highways, it's this colossal expense. We don't think twice about it. Of course we have to build highways.
Right.
And
like you said, sunk costs.
Right, yeah. Right, exactly. And the and to people who have that mindset, light rail seems optional. Buses seem optional, I guess. But sort of if you take enough steps back and look at everything, you know, in the right context, it's clearly cheaper for people to not have all these redundant vehicles on their own to pour a ton of money into and have specialized, you know, lanes that are only used some hours of the day and all that stuff.
And all the deaths that you have to deal with.
Yeah, right. Yeah, back to the other arguments. Yeah. And I come at this as an equity person too. So like I basically am in it because the like we were saying at the break, it screws up your life if you can't get around and there's no way you can get to work and like keep your job if you don't have a way to do it. And people's when somebody's car falls apart, it just destroys them and they, you know, it just completely destroys your life if you don't have an option.
Yeah.
And so it's important to just, you know, to the economy in general, to have people be able to get to work.
Well, I'll tell you, that's the reason I became a bike person predominantly. Like I dabbled in bike, you know, stuff, and I thought it was kind of romantic and awesome. And I thought
bike maybe, curious.
Yes, I was bike curious, and I thought maybe I would get cooler. You know, I would accrue credibility on
Are
the
you
street.
Just doing this to get laid?
Yes, yes, that's what
Aren't
I was
we
doing.
All doing everything to get laid?
Yes, yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, my wife and I, our first date was a bike date. So really, ultimately, that's...
It worked!
Yeah, it worked! Hurrah! But I chose bicycle largely because that was like the only thing. I never considered transit because I had no idea that it could possibly work for me, you know? And I mean, at the time that my car broke down, I was working less than 2 miles, I think, from where I live, but I wouldn't have walked there. I didn't consider that at all. You know, it was just, it was out of the question. And so it was transit just because, well, I guess because it was so close, but even after I started working farther away from home, like I had no idea if I could get there by bus, if it was something that was even possible. So awareness has a lot to do with, I think, probably getting people into it.
Yeah. There's totally a barrier. And once you're over the barrier and you're like, oh, this isn't so hard, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, you've got this, the big challenge for the media world.
You want me to go into that?
You want to talk a little bit about
okay.
that? That
I'll
might
try
be a
be
good
quick.
Thing
so
for us to wrap up on because we still have to talk about our beer.
That's right.
That's true. Okay, so I mentioned our new issue. It's about the youth pass in the schools. It's this program that lets you use your student. If you're a high school student in Portland Public Schools, you can use your student ID for free to get on the bus.
Right. And because the school buses don't exist
right.
for high school.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the program before this had been that only if you were poor and lived 1.5 miles from school and went to your neighborhood school would
Holy
you get
shit.
This. So this expands it to everybody and so on. There are lots and lots of 80% of students use it at least once a week. Many of them use it every day. Costs 74 cents a day per student to provide it. It's the annual cost is about as much as 3 hours of a single school day at PPS. Not to say there aren't a lot of other things we could do with that money, but it's an important program that should be given its due in the legislature.
Right.
And the Oregonian hasn't covered this at all, hasn't mentioned the fact, and as a result, the Mercury, the Willamette Week, and so the TV stations, radio stations haven't mentioned it either. The reason that the program is in danger in the first place is because the Oregonian has wrote an excellent series of stories about the business energy tax credit, which funds this as well as other things. And they wrote an article about some other things that it funded were some wind farms that were potentially bad uses of the money. As a result, the legislature reacted to these stories by diving into the business energy tax credit and reforming it, trying to reduce its costs. One of the effects of this is they're cutting this program that everybody says good things about. Every legislature I've said is like, yeah, that's a good program, Republicans included. But we don't, you know, but we're reforming the Betsy. So anyway, the the reason I bring all this up is that it's not a problem with the Oregonian. Like, their business model is to cover things that matter a little bit to a lot of people.
Right.
And the future is in media, is in niche media. There is no shortage of reporting on iPhones. If you want to read about a $600 electronic device, there are 17 blogs that will write thousands of words every day about it. If you want to get a review of a $16 Samsung Freeform, it's the nation's number six selling phone, you can't find it.
I was not aware.
Right.
Okay.
Freeform?
The Freeform. And yeah, you haven't heard of it because yeah. nobody finds it lucrative to talk about it.
Is it one of those smartphones?
No, it's a dumb phone.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. It's a feature phone. The
AKA your grandma's phone.
Right. It's your grandma's phone, and nobody cares about your grandma because she's not rich enough.
Oh, wow. That's
true.
But it's true.
Yeah. And so the social challenge of the media is going to be finding finding business models that support niche coverage on behalf of people who are not rich. And can cover government from a consumer perspective and say, here's a program that you as a ordinary person as opposed to a rich person care about and should be informed about the fact that if you contact your legislature, maybe it will be more likely to be included in the budget instead of a tax cut for so-and-so.
Yeah.
And so that's the sort of macro, you know, feel good sort of downer goal of Portland Afoot, as well
sure.
as
right.
sort of talking about the culture of transit and so on. As what motivates me to do this shit every day is thinking about the fact that it's difficult to come up with formulas that are going to keep people who make less than 50 grand a year informed about important stuff.
Sure. Yeah.
So that's my thinking about this thing. So it's not a flaw. It's not like a moral flaw in the culture. It's just a problem that has to be solved by people thinking creatively about distribution and revenue models.
Yeah. That systemic, I suppose, is probably a way you could
right.
say it.
Just... So you just need to create a new system.
Uh-huh.
It's a creativity problem.
Right.
And so I'm trying one crazy ass way of doing that.
One little
may
thing.
Or may not work.
Which
but,
is Portland
yeah.
Afoot.
Right.
And portlandafoot.com.
.org.
Right? .org.
.com will send you there.
Okay. portlandafoot.org.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you want to subscribe, it really is mostly a fun publication. It's not about things that make you sad in general,
right.
I would say.
Not too much popular, policy stuff.
Right.
There's
exactly.
a lot of popular things in there.
Yeah. I hope it's upbeat. But the we have a good news item in the news summary every month. Anyway.
Also, you had the feature about, what was it, the Golden Voice, the guy who does the
Spanish voice on the Mac.
Yeah.
That was
yes.
pretty awesome.
Yes. Yeah, he was great. Anyway, so if anybody would like to subscribe, you can go to portlandafoot.org and enter the code Sprocket in the discount.
We get our own code?
You do,
portlandafoot.org.
Yeah, you get it for $10 a year to your home.
Discount code Sprocket.
Yeah, if you're in the Portland area.
All right. Yeah. Well, we're excited about that. Just to give you possibly some new subscribers. That's pretty cool.
Awesome.
Thank you, sir.
Of course.
Well, we should get to the summarization of the... Yeah.
Yeah, let's talk about our beers.
You've got good words.
Yeah.
Me, not so much.
You've only had half your beer. This is great.
It's a big freaking 22-ouncer.
Yeah, it is. So we have a series of I don't have my words anymore.
That's okay.
There's a lot of things we can circle to describe our beer. Different, you know, label, color, clarity, head, aroma, mouthfeel, flavor, and finish. I've noticed that we have all circled some of these. Let's each go around and say the category and one thing that we circled about our beers. Naming the beer once more for those who may have forgotten.
All right. Well, I'm right now for mouthfeel. I'm drinking the Woodshed Red from Southern Oregon Brewing Company, and the mouthfeel is creamy like velvet. It's really smooth. I love it.
There
good stuff.
Go.
How about you, Brandon?
Well, let's see. For label, I'm going to completely evade talking about my Miller High Life.
About the actual qualities of
the
beer.
Yeah, I'm going to avoid
the
that.
Purported qualities.
I've said enough bad words about it. Been naughty enough. The label, I'm going to go ahead and say quality printing for even being a can. I love it.
It's got great. Especially,
and if only because they got rid of the sexist shit on it. So yes. Good on them.
It's got a great label. Michael?
Yeah. So I've got the Fearless Scottish Ale. It's got sort of a kitschy thing. It's got a Viking on it, which is sort of an unusual icon for the Scots.
I was going to say, is he a Scottish Viking?
Well, the Scots were Vikings, right? They were the people that killed the Scots. And
the actual Scots?
I think so. Yeah. Okay. And there's a thistle. Yeah. I think this is a thistle. So I'm going to rate that as a quality printing, though. I think.
Good.
Yeah. That's what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
The color, mine for amber or copper, and I've got the head diminishing returns. That may be because I poured it halfway through.
Oh, there you go.
Well, what can you do?
Yeah.
Well, it's been a good episode. Good talking with you, Michael. Thank you for coming in and joining us.
My pleasure.
And, of course, if you want to get in touch with us here on the vast, wide internet, you can find us at thesprocketpodcast.com. You can send us all of your suggestions for everything at thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com. Call and leave us a story. Tell us what you're up to at 503-847-9774. Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for providing our theme music. Find him on the internet at myspace.com/RyanJLane. And thanks to Hurtbird, Portland band, for our headline sounder. Find them at hurtbirdmusic.com. My name is Brock.
And I'm Brandon.
And I'm Michael.
And we will see you on the other side. Thanks again. Enjoy yourself. Have a fantastic spring day. We'll see you next time.
Adios. Bye. Jingle jangle.
The rain in Spain falls mainly on the plains.
Nicely done.
Hey. What? Rain in Spain.
Right.
I hear it falls mostly on the plains.
You don't know. It falls.
Is my head in the correct direction?
You may notice some. These are the worst headphones in the world. I should probably get some other ones someday soon. The rain in Spain.
Ha!
All right. Okay, that's going to work out perfectly.